Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, squad, to episode number 69 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. We are here today to answer Cassandra's question. On Facebook, Cassandra and I were chatting, talking actually about whether we have a tendency to eat more or eat less when we're stressed. And it was split right down the middle. But one of the things that Cassandra mentioned has helped her recently is tuning into the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. So I asked her if there was something that she would like to hear more about specifically. And she said, I'd love to hear how you're doing with the quarantine and any tips that you and your husband have been using, because this is a struggle for all of us. So here we are today to talk about the tips, tools, tricks, and habits that Patrick and I have been using to navigate this really hard and stressful season. But before I invite my quarantine buddy and husband to join us in today's conversation, I feel the need to clarify that just because these things, these habits are working well for us, does not in fact mean that they will work for you as well. Just like with nutrition, we have to individualize the action steps that we take based on individual goals, preferences, and other lifestyle variables. We are sharing these tools and tactics with you today in the hopes that something will strike a chord and be super helpful for you in some way, shape, or form. But girlfriends, the way I eat isn't the way you need to eat, and the way that we are handling this hardship isn't the way that you and your loved ones need to handle this hardship. One size never fits all. So please, please remember this as you tune into today's podcast. What can you take from it? What can you learn? What can you apply and try, knowing that you might need to tweak, adjust, and reassess based on what works best for you and your family. A few weeks ago, I recorded a podcast episode number 66 on how we can all use this time to communicate and care for one another better. And to date, it is the most listened to podcast episode thus far, with over 575 listens. So clearly, y'all are looking for some clarity and insight on how you can use this COVID-19 experience to create positive change in your life, despite the fact that everything around you feels super negative right now. And you know I'm here to listen to you, which, by the way, reminds me, please take a page out of Cassandra's book and reach out to let me know what you like hearing. If you haven't already, leave a review and tell me what you love most, or snap a screenshot of today's episode if it resonates with you, and let me know, because I can't read your mind and I need to know what you're loving and what you're not so that I can create more content surrounding your favorite topics. So holler at your girl and let me know. I've been smacking my lips for way too long. My husband's giving me the stink eye. So let's get to the point. In episode 66, I shared with you that at the beginning of all of this, Patrick and I were not best friends. For the first week, we just kind of rode the wave. But week two, we were rude, we were short, and we were sassy with each other. And it was not working. My work from home routine felt crowded, and Patrick was feeling a bit aimless, not being able to train his clients in person. Stress was high all around. And so naturally, we were taking that out on each other. And because we have been working on ourselves and our relationship since day one, shout out to our amazing therapist, we knew that we needed to change what wasn't working and find what would, seeing as we were going to be stuck at home together for quite some time. So we had a heart-to-heart. We talked about what we wanted to use this time for and how we could communicate with each other better even in those high stress conversations. Tune into episode 66 if you missed it. And we've settled into a pretty sexy groove. So today we're here to share with you 5 habits that are helping us thrive through this hard time. Habit number 1 that has totally helped us thus far is keeping our nutrition game the same for the most part. You had to know I was going to start with food stuff. No surprise here. Online nutrition coach. So when shit hits the fan, all or nothing thinking tells us that we need to jump ship, give up, and start over when things return to normal. But Patrick and I have been in the health industry for far too long now, and we know that all or nothing thinking never works. So pretty much immediately, I think it was one of the first conversations we had, we sat down and committed to keeping most of our nutrition-specific action steps the same. We still plan out our weekly meals loosely, knowing what we want to eat, and from there we create our grocery list. We still commit to food prep on the weekends to set ourselves up for success. We still follow a loose food schedule. We're both home all day. We could be eating 24/7, but we're not, because we know that that doesn't leave us feeling our best. So we still prioritize a set breakfast, lunch, and dinner time. And we still make time for our favorite fun foods and beverages when they mean the most to us. So these are things that we have done for quite some time and have committed to continue doing despite all this COVID craziness. And I think it's really served to help us. But that's not to say that we haven't needed to change certain things.
Yeah, I think the biggest changes we've made is definitely like what sources we go to. So a lot of times when we're ordering groceries in, we can't maybe get the exact protein we want or the exact carb we want. And we've always been people that order a lot of the same thing. You know, our meals look the same about week to week. Maybe we make a small adjustments, but for the most part, they look the same every week.
You make us sound so boring. We like our structure. We like our routine. Yeah. So we've gotten really accustomed to having this basic grocery list, you know, our eggs, our ground turkey, and those two things we have not been able to get because there's definitely a shortage. So we've had to make some adjustments. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Boring does equal success. But yes, outside of that, I think it's just accepting the change in like one more area, right? And nobody loves change, but we've dealt with it and made it work for us. And then, like you said, I think the other big change is food prep. I think it's made me realize how thankful I am for when we were at our normal schedule. I was at work doing one big meal prep during the weekend, and that would usually get us through the week because then we could go out on the weekends and maybe a couple meals out. But now, since we're eating everything at home, we're definitely going through food faster. So we're doing some smaller preps through the week more often, which has been a harder change for me, I think, just figuring out where it fits in the schedule altogether. But yeah, those are the two biggest changes, I would say.
I think it's been relatively easy for us because it was a habit that already existed, yeah, and we just had to grow it. And I think instead of saying, oh, what the fuck, we can't do it perfectly, we're just gonna, you know, blow this up and then start over once life returns to normal, we were able to say, wait, we had systems and structures that were working, and we might need to be flexible with them, tweak, adjust, maybe adapt, but those systems and structures still work, whether we're stuck at home or we're living life out and about. So I want to encourage you all tuning in to revisit your nutrition strategy. What was working well for you before? Have you continued to execute those action steps? Or maybe, totally normal, have you slipped into black and white, all or nothing thinking, and you've stopped making choices based on how you want to feel and instead choosing immediate gratification? Which, trust me, I've been there, and in a past life, I would have made that choice. But I think we're just focusing on what can we do now? What's the best that we can do now so that we can feel good every single day? The second habit that I think has been hugely influential is setting helpful boundaries for our work from home days. And I talked a little bit about this in episode 66, but I freaking love alone time. I'm an introvert. I'm also a firstborn and super independent. And if I don't get my alone time, it's safe to say that I'm unpleasant. Would you agree?
Yes.
It's how I fill my cup. Yeah. No shame. I know it and I own it. But Patrick, who is also an introvert, loves being around people. And I think you would spend 24 hours a day with me if that was what was best for us. But we know it's not. And I love that about Patrick. But we've had to figure out together as a couple, what do we need as individuals and what do we need together? So each morning, Patrick and I make time for breakfast together before we start our day, which is kind of like a ritual we hold dearly. But during breakfast, we talk about what our days are going to look like and what hours of the day we will commit to work and or coaching calls and when we're going to break for a workout that we can spend some time together or when we can carve out lunch together or go for a walk and when I need that precious alone time to get work done or to just sit with my thoughts. And I think this has been so helpful. It's not always easy. And it doesn't look the same day to day, but I think the theme here is that we've committed to communicating clearly and setting those healthy boundaries, respecting each other as individuals, but then coming together as a couple so that we can feel healthy together and apart. And guys, being in a relationship and being stuck in a house together 24/7 doesn't mean that you can't carve out space for you as an individual to grow and to rest. Patrick and I have still been prioritizing continuing education separately. We do different things and then trying to take time together to spend more quality time together. So I think the boundaries have been super helpful, especially given that we work from home and now we live at home and we're home all the time. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I think definitely going over structure of the day in the morning and what our schedules are going to look like helps. And it probably helps me even more just because my schedule looks completely different than what it used to because I'm not going into the gym and on the training floor. So it probably just reorganizes my structure for that day and allows me to have a little bit more of a set schedule to talking through that. And then I think just learning how to shut off work for both of us is definitely a challenge and will probably always be a challenge because of our job. So this is a good opportunity for us to learn how to do that and what it looks like even when things return to some sort of normalcy.
Yeah, that's a good call. We love what we do and I hope that's apparent, but we also know that we need to protect our energy in order to constantly overflow and provide value to our clients. So those healthy boundaries among them is having like a shutdown time at night. So no work, no emails, no Facebook or, you know, Instagram, because now this is just our time, whether we're, you know, going to read together or watch a Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah. I think we've been like reading a bit more in the morning, both of us, which mm-hmm. has been a nice change. Yeah.
Carving out the time when we can. Yeah, making it happen. The third habit that I had identified that I think has been helping us hugely, like guys, this is monumental, is not sacrificing our systems of accountability. And at the beginning of all of this, we took a look at our expenses together because income changed for us, like it has for many of you listening. And we tried to identify what we didn't need now that we were going to be home more often and working off of one income. Things like takeout, for example, we just decided, hey, we don't need to be drinking or eating out as much because we're perfectly capable of making most of our meals at home. So that's an expense that we could certainly cut. But the one expense that we refuse to sacrifice, because in our brains, it's not an expense, it's an investment, in addition to our grocery budget, because we don't mess around with our grocery budget, is our investment in our accountability systems. I have a coach, Patrick has had a coach, and we both benefit from therapy. These things we committed to continuing because they help us to hold ourselves accountable and allow us to show up as the best versions of ourselves. And when life gets rough, oftentimes these are the first things we cut because of scarcity mindset. And hello, my hand is actually raised right now. I am guilty of struggling with the scarcity mindset. Cut everything out. Stop it all. Save, 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 save. I was conditioned to kind of have that pack rat mentality. And it's something that I've had to challenge over and over again. I'm not saying that you shouldn't save. There's obviously merit to saving and not living beyond your means. But I've also learned that I grow the most and we grow the most when we are investing in ourselves. When I put energy in my cup by way of investing in a coach and or a therapist, I'm able to give more energy away, making me a better, healthier, more productive person and a coach. And I have no doubt that you are the exact same way, because I see this happen in the lives of my one-on-one coaching clients all the time. Nutrition coaching is an investment in yourself. And at first, all you see are dollar signs, but every single person who has graduated from my nutrition coaching program in their exit interview has said something to the extent of, it's worth every penny. You are worth the investment. 100% it's worth it. Because you see dollar signs at the beginning, but at the end, you see how much time, how much energy, and how much money you gain back in the long run. So Patrick and I sat down and thought about this at the beginning, took a look at our expenses and said, okay, these things we can do without. Accountability, we cannot, because we have to keep showing up. We have to keep filling our cups. And I think, thank goodness for telehealth, first of all, because it's been great to continue connecting with our coaches and with our therapists throughout this season. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think accountability is big, like going through the budget and just looking where you spend. I don't think it's always needed to do it 24/7, but just to take the opportunity to look back through things is always interesting to see where you spend money, especially like food and things like that. And then I think accountability from the sense of each other holding ourselves accountable, like I said, to either like phone time or shutting things down, even just through like movement out today and workouts. That's been fun, just having each other in those moments and having the accountability for those things, you know, like new opportunities for us to have accountability for each other there.
You bring up a good point. I was talking with a client about this the other day. Sometimes spouses aren't the best people to hold us accountable. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't, because we're too close, I think. So thankfully we have a really good dynamic as far as fitness. You write my programs. I love that I don't have to think about them. I help create our weekly menu. You like that you don't have to think overly much about what goes into your meals and snacks. But I have had conversations with clients before where it becomes almost like a negative, animosity filled conversation. So I think just keep in mind, again, this is working for us, but maybe your spouse isn't the best person to hold you accountable. So if a coach is out of the question right now, find a mentor, find a friend if you don't have someone at home that can help hold you accountable. But I think the point here is accountability is key.
Yeah, I mean, I think we struggle with accountability in like business aspect, because we can both just like keep running towards something, and it's not always like the healthiest sense. So sometimes that accountability can have like this, maybe I don't want to say negative side, but just a different side of accountability. So I think it's just walking that line.
Yeah, someone who can see the bird's eye view. Definitely. This fourth habit is something that I would implore everybody to do. I can think of few people who can't benefit from something like this, and that is going for more walks. This sounds so simple and rudimentary, but it has been really, really helpful for us throughout this COVID quarantine season, because not much has changed with my coaching schedule, and Patrick has transitioned to training clients remotely. So we both have pretty standard work days, and we don't have that much more free time, but we have committed to using the additional free time we have, because we're no longer commuting to and from the gym. We don't have to go to the grocery store. We're not seeing friends and or family on the weekends. We're using that time to take more walks together. And much like we've kept our nutrition game the same, we've done the same for fitness. I mean, we still train together in our attic with minimal equipment 4 times a week. And because we're not getting as much cardiovascular activity, we're not getting as much movement day to day, we've committed to walking as much as possible and hiking like once or twice a week at least. So keep in mind, sometimes these walks are like a mile because we only have 15 minutes. And most of the time, I think we can carve out an hour in our day to spend together, mask up, and move while getting some fresh air. And it's been great. It's not been a big monumental shift. It's nothing groundbreaking. But like Patrick said earlier, progress usually isn't. Progress is the accumulation of the boring basics done consistently, right? So we are increasing NEAT, yes, which is a big win, but more than anything, I think just the added time together, being able to walk, breathe in some fresh air, and get out of our four walls. I mean, we love our home, but I think just the perspective has been such a shift.
Yeah, I agree. I think just getting outside, being in the sun, being in nature holds so many benefits on its own inside of health, right? Like, take out the benefit of like walking from like aerobic standpoint or like conditioning standpoint, right? Which is good. We can use it for that, but also the use of it just being outside and taking the benefits of that, being in the sun, right? All those things are hugely valuable in your overall fitness. And it's also a great place for some people just to start a fitness journey. You know, if you've been focusing on nutrition or something else and now you want to add it in, walks can be a really easy way to build that up. Or if you're somebody like me and just loves going to the gym and smashing weights, walking can add value from like aerobic standpoint. And then on the flip side, I think a lot of people hate the mindset or the thought of like meditating, right? Like sitting there. I think walks can be like a mindful practice. Now, I think you have to go into it with the thought of it not being exercise, because then you're just going to be focused on the steps and heart rate and things like that, which is fine. But it's not the goal when the goal for is the walk is to be more like a mindset and a break throughout the day. So I think maybe just what's your intention of the walk too can be fun.
And I think basically what you're saying is like, you can't go wrong. I mean, if the walk is as an energy expenditure tool, it's a win, because even though you might not be working out as often or as intensely, you're still increasing your movement overall throughout the day. But even if movement, caloric burn, et cetera, is not the goal, it's still a huge parasympathetic win. So just having some kind of stress management strategy that you can do, you know, weather permitting, from anywhere, in any attire, right? Like, you don't even have to be in gym clothes.
Yeah.
You can go take a stroll around the block or something.
There
anyway.
A lady running up and down stairs yesterday in, like, jeans and a shirt. She was, like, crushing in, like, everyday clothes.
Yeah,
like,
we
I
saw
her. I respected her. You know, like, running in jeans, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think this is another opportunity to just say, don't let perfect be the enemy of good either. Because an old Nicole mindset would say, well, I can't do it perfectly. Like, I'm not getting my intense workout. I can't run anymore. Like, what the hell is the point? I'm just going to sit here and gain a bunch of weight and I'll start over again, you know, when I can. And here's this woman just jogging up a few stairs on a college campus in jeans, probably because she's more sedentary than she used to be. So it's like, do what you can, even if it's a stroll around the block with your kids or with your dog, because you can't get that alone time. You know, something is always better than nothing.
Or it allows for like a time of like play, right? Like, we lose that ability as adults sometimes, like, just get out and play. And like, maybe the walk turns into something like that. Like, oh, I'll run up some stairs, right? Like, you don't have to have like your perfect workout attire on, right? Like, it can just turn into something more and you can just have fun, and it doesn't have to have this like strict outcome. So that's another important piece too.
Agreed. The last habit that I have listed here that I think has been really, really helpful is limiting our news consumption and our exposure to the negative Nancys. Our environment is our biggest predictor of success. I've said it probably 1,000 times, and I will probably say it 1,000,000 more moving forward, because it is so true. Our surroundings, the things and the people around us, influence our actions so much more than we realize. Easter candy in the house and you ate it? No surprise. All of your girlfriends are talking about how they hate their bodies and you are suddenly feeling ashamed of yours? Yep, not surprising. It's our job. It is your job to protect your environment and ensure that it supports the people that we want to become, the person you want to become. Patrick and I don't have cable, and therefore we don't really watch TV. We're into Netflix, we have our Hulu shows, but we don't watch the news. And after hearing so many clients tell me how down and discouraged they feel after tuning into the news each day, it's something I've grown incredibly grateful for. We stay up to date with, you know, our governor announcements as we need to based on what's happening, but we don't go searching for additional chatter and chaos. Because I don't need that in my life, right? Like, my brain is busy enough. I do not need extra confusion and extra negativity going on up there. And neither do you. And this extends to include those negative Nancys on Facebook. Not to mention all the people out there trying to sell me new beauty products and skinny teas, like, immediate unfollow. If you are bringing my energy down.
Nobody sells me beauty products.
No comment. But you have the power to click unfollow or mute or unsubscribe, whatever it may be, because it's your energy and nobody's going to protect it but you. So remember that it's your job to filter what you consume. And that includes the people around you, the accounts that you follow, and the newsletters that you subscribe to. I just had a client coaching call. This was yesterday. We discussed a social media detox, the only kind of detox I endorse, as you know, because she's been so consumed by friends and family who are posting negative things on Facebook, bringing her down. If you don't like how you feel, the only person who can change that is you. And that includes making different food choices and movement choices and self-care choices, but it also includes changing your environment. There's a quote that I love. I don't even know who says it, but if you don't like where you're planted, move. You're not a tree. And it's so true. If you don't like your current environment, if your current environment is not setting you up for success, you can change it. And I think right now we're seeing, wow, the people I follow, they're really bringing me down, or they're really lifting me up. I think this is so, so important. And I think one of the reasons that we have been able to thrive through this season is we keep a very tight rein on who we follow and what we consume, news outlets and social media included.
Yeah, it's definitely tough because for me, I'm always like, all right, when is the gym going to be able to open back up? When can I get back on the floor? So trying to keep updated with that, but not like run down any rabbit holes, right? I always think back, we always watch a show called Elementary. And it's like a spinoff of Sherlock Holmes. And he always talks about like only putting stuff in your brain that you truly need, right? And I think a lot of times you can run down like the coronavirus hole and put a lot of stuff in your brain that isn't helpful, doesn't have any impact on your life, like doesn't change your situation at the end of the day. So what does it really matter? Or, you know, you get that email from like New York Times in your inbox in the morning and probably just like deleting it before you even pop it open, because if you do, you're probably going to read an article. So just stopping before it even starts.
And guys, please hear us when we say we don't have it perfect. Yeah. Like we haven't figured this all out. We are learning by trial and error, just like you. And this is the perfect example. You all listening know that I struggle with anxiety, and obviously I run an online nutrition coaching business. So I am online. I see stuff, you know, just like you do. And sometimes it's not intentionally. So I was scrolling through TikTok one day and saw someone being screened for coronavirus. They were being tested for it. And I don't know if you've seen that, but that is scary shit. They stick like a Q-tip. Yes, a really long Q-tip up, like so far up your nose, it like goes into your brain. And I watched this, freaked myself out so badly to the point where Patrick was like, you are not allowed to watch any TikToks that are about coronavirus. So now like if he happened to be sitting next to me when I'm scrolling, he will immediately like shift to the screen so that I'm not looking at it anymore, because it wasn't serving me. Like I was letting it feed my anxiety. And I think sometimes we just get caught in these loops. I mean, social media is addicting. It's meant to be, right? So you spend hours and hours on it, but remember, you have to protect what serves you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I just want to say again, we're not here to tell you that you can't be sad or angry or frustrated about what's happening. We're not here to tell you that you need to find the silver lining and you need to make lemonade out of lemons that life's handing you. We're simply here to share what's working well for us. We have our bad days just like you. We struggle just like you. And what I know is that proximity is power. I tell my clients this all the time. So if someone is succeeding, if someone is doing really well, instead of immediately comparing ourselves to them and feeling less than or inferior to, we should be asking, how can I learn from that? Like, how can I model some of what they're doing, or learn from what they're doing, or replicate what they're doing in some way that works for me? So we share these things with you because these habits have been helping us tremendously through an otherwise really hard and shitty season. And I hope one or more of these habits feels like it resonates with you and might help lessen the burden even just a little bit. And looking forward, you can say, hey, you know what? I probably could be going on more walks. Or, hey, you know what? This nutrition tactic was working really well for me before. Why did I stop? Or, hey, I could use some extra accountability through this season. Find something in this podcast episode that you feel like might be helpful to you. But if something isn't helpful, feel free to just let it roll in one ear and out the other. This is just what's working well for us, and we wanted to share the toolkit with you.
Yeah. Let's share this episode. Get to the big 600 listens.
Yeah, snap a screenshot if you tune in to today's episode. Let us know what you love. Maybe just let us know in a comment what habit you're going to focus on moving forward. And just like I tell all of my coaching clients, focus on winning the day. Just win the day. The weeks, the months, they'll take care of themselves. Each day comes with new feelings and new barriers and new opportunities. Not every day is going to look and feel the same, but it is always within our control to care for ourselves in the best way possible given those circumstances, no matter what it looks like. And as always, if after tuning into today's episode, you identify that the missing piece in your journey right now is that support and that accountability system, maybe you ditched yours in the midst of that scarcity mindset, you know where to find me. 4 new rock stars have joined the Nutrition Coaching with Nicole squad in the last month, despite all this COVID craziness. And I have never been more inspired because these women know that sustainable success requires that they learn how to thrive even during the most stressful and less than ideal seasons. And I'd love for you to be the next rock star to join the squad, but only if you feel like you're ready, you're at a place in your life and in your journey where you are ready to take action towards that confident and nourishing relationship with food that produces results that last. You know where to find me. Catch you on the flip side, squad. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.